So I heard you had an awesome morning here. Pastor Bob Colban gave the message, and Pastor Love, and we were in Silver Spring with Pastor Shibley and Casey and their family. Emma, who sang tonight, she sang this morning. Three brothers from the Bible school went with me, and Pastor Fred Ellis drove, and we were outside. I think there was 140 people, and a beautiful day today out under the trees. Just precious time. And I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah 17 just for an introductory thought. Pastor Bob Colban shared Saturday morning about the firefighters in New York City on 9/11. And one of the things he said, the primary thing was when those, maybe some of you saw some documentary film yesterday or, commemorating what happened 20 years ago. And Pastor Colban mentioned that, the towers on fire, and the firemen come to the place, and they start walking. They're walking towards the tower as the top part of it is on fire. And he said, what was in their hearts when they were walking towards that tower, And also, I've thought about the mystery of the human heart. And how we are made. We're fearfully, wonderfully made. And really, it's very hard to know what is in our hearts. One of the points we mentioned this morning was at the Last Supper, when Jesus said, "One of you will betray me." Nobody said, "Is it Judas?" Nobody said that. Why not? Why didn't they know that? Why didn't they know? And the answer, I feel, is we're just really good at covering up what's really going on inside. And Judas was not a suspect. He was really good at it. And I would say those firefighters that just went to the building or buildings, I don't really know the history of what exactly, but anyway, they were probably thinking, this is my duty. This is what I'm paid to do. Maybe somebody's saying, we can do this. They didn't know that it was coming down. And many of them, some hundreds of them, lost their lives inside the stairwells of those buildings. And Pastor Colban said that we have something in our hearts that God has put in our hearts, and it's very similar. And it goes like this. We do what we do because we are committed. We're committed. I haven't always been committed, but eventually in my heart, it's in you. It's in you to believe and trust. And it grows. And you make daily decisions like, about what you believe and how important is it and what value do we put on it. And many of our sisters and brothers around the world are facing real challenges. I'm going in because this is what God has called me to do. I'm sharing the message. I am going to another country. I am going to Bible college. I am I have problems with my family. They think I'm in a cult, or I'm crazy, or they don't know. They don't know. My best friend is no longer my best friend because I have a commitment I've made in my heart. Maybe even my immediate family may not know how committed I am, what I'm believing, and what is happening in my heart. And so Jeremiah 17 says it this way, that a man that is trusting his own flesh, verse 5, and his heart departs from the Lord, it's not a good deal. It's just not going to happen. Verse 6, it's heath in the desert, will not see good coming. Have you ever been around people that complain all the time? They can't see the good. They can't see the good. It's right in front of them. It's everything is there, but they can't see it because of the heart. How about Judas Iscariot? He couldn't see that. He couldn't see what he was part of. He couldn't see what was happening. No, because this is our short message tonight is about, I think so, it's about the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. So this is the first part, the mystery of my heart. And I can't trust the Lord. I just can't trust the Lord because in my heart, I don't. And nobody knows why. It's like a mystery, the human heart. Like, you see good? No, I don't see any good. I know we were somewhere in Baltimore, and I don't, it was a Halloween. It was a Halloween one or a couple of years ago. And it was, the little children said something like, you know, make America great again, or something like this, you know. I don't know who, I just, one of the children told me, they said, the man said, America's never been great. Why are you saying make America great? It's never been great. At the door. I thought, wow, the child, an adult, you know, a statement, you know, it's a funny world because of the human heart not seeing good when it comes. When Christ dies and loves and forgives, can we see it? That human heart that is not trusting the Lord does not see it. But here's the good part, verse 7. But blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. We could say, he trusts in the Lord with all his heart, and he's blessed. He trusts in the Lord with all his heart. I once was in Uzbekistan, a faraway country near Afghanistan, just north of Afghanistan. And I was there one summer as a missionary. And we were sitting around, and I just looked around, and I thought, wow, what do these people have? You know, what do they have? Like, but then they have actually everything. But we may not see it, but it's here. With us. It's God. God is with us. Blessed is the man whose hope is in the Lord, trusts in the Lord. This is totally a game changer. It totally changes my life in Uzbekistan or wherever we live. I mean, this is what we believe. This is what I want to be committed to. I want to be committed to believing and seeing the goodness of God, because there's another mystery. One is the mystery of iniquity that cannot see it, and the other one is the mystery of godliness that sees it all the time. You see it. It's there. It's here. It's great. Okay, closing verse 7, 8. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. He'll maybe have a smile, maybe give a glass of water, maybe say a prayer, maybe he'll visit somebody sick, maybe he will extend a helping hand, maybe he will get a small group of people together and love them and speak faith into them. And tell the widow, collect pots. And she says, well, Elijah, what? Just collect empty pots. That's all you have to do. Just do that. And she did. And started pouring the oil, and the oil didn't stop. It just came. When we were with Pastor Shibley today, I just thought about his hard work. I remember the trailer. I remember the equipment. I remember the school, the rented house. I remember the Bible studies. I remember this amazing, amazing work that's happening. He's like one of those firefighters that said, I'm going in. Because this is what I do. This is what I believe. I'm going in. I'm a missionary. I'm a pastor. That God is with us. We are believing. This is a mystery to people. It's a mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh and seen of angels, believed on in the world, received up to glory. Okay, so the tree is spread out, her roots by the river, shall not see when heat comes. Don't you see the heat? No, not really. Her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So there's the work of grace. Grace, just grace. And that's with us, the mystery of godliness. Okay. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day today. And people that have this new heart. And how we are willing. We are willing. We're not careful in the year of drought. When everybody's saying there's no water, we say, here, you can take mine. You can have this. It's okay. God is with me. In the year of drought, where everybody's careful. No, we're not careful in the year of drought. This is the mystery of godliness at work in us. Oh, Lord, bless the meditation tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here tonight with your hearts towards Christ and in faith. Precious, really great. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. I want to speak to your hearts tonight on this verse. Maybe it's happened in your life, in your family. Maybe it's tough when it happens, but it does. Paul said it. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. So that phrase, the more I love you, the less I be loved. I wonder if that has happened to you. In a family, it can happen. You love a child. The more you love them, the less they love you, it seems. It can happen in a church. The more you love people, it might be that they don't like it. They just turn away. They don't like you, or they complain about it, or they... Isn't it interesting? In a friendship, maybe you might be... It might be you're overreaching. You're loving too much in the wrong way. That can happen. Smothering a child, smothering somebody in a relationship. Being too strong, too needy. Well, that's a good word. I'm too needy. Love me, love me. I need you to love me, love me, love me. And you turn away from that. It sounds manipulative, or maybe manipulative, or the need is so great. And we say, find your needs met in Christ. That being said, the apostle wasn't that way. He was saying, like God, I love the world, but they don't love me. Like God, loving us every day, giving to us every day, and then we're not loving him. We don't want to know him. We don't talk about him. We don't think about him. I have a new term you can use, theophobia. Theophobia is what? Fear of God. What is homophobia? Okay, we know what that word is. That's everywhere. But there's another one, theo. Christophobia. Are you Christophobic? The Bible says we are. We're an enemy of God. This is a mystery. So I want to explain it this way. We start in life with maybe a little box here, which we will call reason. And we live in reason. And reason is part of life. A lot of life is reasonable. We make decisions based on it. But life is more than reason, because there's a mystery in life. There are things we don't understand. We cannot solve problems by reason alone, especially relationships with people. It's not reason. There has to be more. There has to be something beyond reason. We can call that mystery. Mystery. There's a mystery that is good, and we can take reason and bring us to faith, and we have this mystery of godliness. This is Christ. The nature of godliness is that it doesn't contradict us. It fits our design. It fits, actually, the world we live in. When Christ was in the world, he fit here. He was with the Father, mystery. The Father and the Son, the mystery of the Trinity. Mystery, prayer, love. The Father loved the Son loved the Father. This is works. It works. He could stop the storm. He could multiply the bread. He could raise the dead. His world was the real world. And it was a mystery to us. Because our reason is where we live until we meet him. When we meet him, now we are hungry for that because it fits our design. I want more than just mathematics. I want Christ, more than just my checkbook or my finances or my good feelings. I would like Jesus, the Word, the Logos, the thought of God. the mind of God. You are made for the mind of God. And the Spirit of God teaches you. And this is the life of faith. This is how we live, in faith. God has designed the church so that the church would be a place of faith, that people would not really understand us because we would sing with all our hearts. We actually believe in the one we're singing to. We actually have gifts that operate. We actually are motivated in our hearts to do things and think things and walk by faith in God. This is the church life. There are Christians that are not baptized into church life. They live only in the realm of reason. And when they come to the church, like everything is like in their package. But God knocks on the door of their heart and says, come to me. Trust me. Lift up your hands. Worship me. Step outside. Live in faith. Look unto me, not the people, but look unto me, and then you'll see the people. You'll see the people in the mystery of the fellowship. Ephesians 3, verse 9. The mystery of the fellowship of the body of Christ. This is the testimony of God on the earth. So as we live in that, walk in that, it makes sense to us. We enjoy it. It satisfies us. We find ourselves loving each other. We find ourselves like making sense. There's another thing here in our diagram. It makes sense in a bigger sense, like in a bigger way. I can put here reason, really the big reason, meaning God is like really. He has reasons we know nothing about. He has reason in the biggest sense. It's the way it is. It's how I made you, and you fit in this, and you are satisfied by it. You could say you are wise. You could say you have love, and it's reasonable. The more the Apostle Paul loves you, the more you love him. You love him even more because you see the love he has. You love, and that's reasonable that I would love my church and the saints of God and the vision and the purpose of God. It's like awesome. We see people from around the world getting saved, and we see people motivated in good things, doing good things. This is awesome. Now turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 2. And this is a very, very, very revealing verse of Scripture, 2 Thessalonians 2, 7. For the mystery of iniquity. So we have the mystery of godliness, and then we have something else. The mystery of iniquity. This is, as I said about Judas Iscariot, living with Christ for 3.5 years, but it never touches him as it should have. It doesn't touch him. He doesn't get saved. He's not believing. He's thinking, how do I get out of this group? He's thinking of, when do I get out? And can I make any money as I go out the door? What could I do? I could betray him. The Jews will pay me. So they're thinking, he's thinking in his mind this way. Now go to the diagram. It goes like this. Judas has reason, but then there is the mystery that is working. So this is a mystery of iniquity that is working in him. I will betray Christ. I have no use for him. Yes, I've been here. Yes, I see. No, it doesn't interest me. No, it's So this is something that we can't totally understand. But it happened in Lucifer in heaven in Isaiah 14. When he was in heaven and he was a perfect angel and wise and beautiful, and he was near God's throne, very close to God. It looks like he was part of like the maintenance, not maintenance in, maybe it's not a good word, but somehow the canopy and the throne room, something to do with the privilege of being so close to God, that Lucifer was very close to God. And you could interview Lucifer and just say, you were very close to God. Did you know him? Did you know God? And I think the answer would be similar to our diagram here, that, you know, there was something in him that he knew, like in a reasonable way. But it was somehow that reason led him away from God. It's a mystery. Why did you do this? Why did you go against him? Because I can't trust him. Why can't you trust him? I can't see him. I don't see him. I can't trust him. I don't see. What I see leads me away. It'd be like the Apostle Paul saying, the more I love you, and then some of the Corinthians were like, the more he loves us, the less we love him. Wow. Why? Well, I have my reasons. I have my mind, my way of thinking about it. Now notice something here. The mystery of iniquity contradicts my nature. It contradicts my nature. I'll write that in here. It doesn't fit in the world. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. It's anti-God, anti-love, anti-truth. It's anti. So this is, in a way, good for us to understand and think about, because we live in a world where it says the mystery of iniquity already works. It's working. And some of us look at our society and we wonder, how did you get there? What? What are you saying? What? That makes me feel creepy. Yuck. Really? Like, is that normal? That contradicts. That's like the work of something wrong. That's wrong. That's I don't like it. It doesn't feel right. That's not true. That's not honest. I mean, many of us in our childhood, we heard these little stories about our presidents, like George Washington chopping down the cherry tree and telling the truth about it. Abraham Lincoln walking miles, I think 5 miles, to return 3 cents that. And he was also like postmaster general of a town, and he had 18, there was $18 that was there. And years later, he just had it. It was never touched. And the authorities, you know, they were, you know, it was very impressive. But I mean, these little stories about our presidents, they go in that direction where we want to see, our reason is to lead us in faith and truth and righteousness. We like righteousness. Tell me a good story about an honest man who sacrificed. Tell me about firefighters that went into a burning building not knowing if they would ever get out. Tell me about a hero. Tell me about something that is good, virtuous, true, useful, profitable, and will help a little boy become a good man. Why would you want a good little boy to become a bad man? Unless iniquity is working, the mystery of it. Why is it a mystery? Because it contradicts what is right, what is good, and what is true. So if we had the time, and I think we can do a quick look at Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll just point this out to you. I think we've made our point, and it's doctrinally helpful for us. Ephesians 2, we were dead in trespasses and sins in verse 1. In time past, we walked according to the course of this world, verse 2, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. We were part of this mystery of iniquity, this reason that leads us to accuse and attack. Like, what about this? You know, you stole from me, I will steal from you. You hate me, I will hate you. Isn't that reasonable? But this is reason without godliness. This is revenge. This is ungodly. This is working. But the Holy Spirit dwells in us. In this chapter, I'll just make this point, that we were this way. We were this way in the first 3 or 4 verses. We were dead in our sin, verse 5. We were blind, but God raised us up together, verse 6. We were raised up together and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, as you go through this chapter, you see the miracle of our salvation and the change that happened in our life, where we are really drawn from, in this picture, we are drawn to God saved us so that we would live in the mystery of a fellowship with God on his throne. That we would think not revenge, but mercy. We would not think like attacking people. We would think of how we could bless people. We would think not of like cursing, but we would think of blessing. We would think not of like somebody loves me. Oh, that's a blessing. Thank you so much. You love me. The more you love me, the more you love me, and I'm able to see what your heart is, what your motivation is, I enjoy that. I enjoy it. I receive that. I believe in that. I am thankful for that. This is a good thing. We are led in good things. But in our world, be careful, because you are in a world that has iniquity and the mystery of it working. That means one day they will find the problem is you. You're the problem. The problem in our society is you. And you're going to say, what? Like, really? Me? You know? Yeah, you. That's amazing. But that's the way it is. But that's okay. Because as long as we live in this mystery of Christ, then we will have the resources that we need to love our enemy, to care about people, to pity them, and feel sorry, and want to help, and pray for our enemies, and bless them. The more the world is going in a certain direction, we can see this, and there's a mystery of iniquity at working in our world, but also the mystery of God is working And I really believe I'm not giving up in any way with the whole idea of revival, of people turning, of young people in large numbers, of people saying, you know what? I'm tired of the hatred. I'm looking for love. I'm tired of criticism. I'm looking for creativity. I'm tired of my way. I want God's way. Who has the message? Anybody got a message? Is there a living Christ? Is there a voice of a shepherd? Is there an answer from my heart? Is there something new that I'm looking for? And here's a funny thing. Listen, we can be in a church and somehow in the same church 2 years later, 3 years, 10 years, 20, I go this way. And I can tell you all the reasons. And I can tell you, listen, no church is perfect, and my message isn't the church. The point is the human heart. I can say yes to Jesus, and one day I say no to Jesus. I followed Jesus for years. I followed Jesus for years. And then, believe me, it's possible that the eye that I have is darkness and my whole body is filled with darkness. And how great is that darkness in Matthew 6:19? But I'm not afraid of it because I already know this. And I know the answer to it. You have to be real humble before God and say, God, see if there be any evil way in me. Search my heart. Lead me in the way everlasting. Teach me love. Teach me forgiveness. Teach me your grace. Give me your mind. Help me in my life. And he will. He will answer us. So at the end of that chapter, we have the body built up by the apostles and prophets laying the foundation. We were strangers and foreigners. Verse 19, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. There it is, and it's framed together. Verse 21, the building is fitly framed together. Do you know what that means? It makes sense in life. It goes together. It doesn't contradict the world. It fits. Meaning, it's the way we're made. We're made to be loved. We're made to be showered with mercy and grace. We're made to laugh. We're made to rejoice a lot. We're made to enjoy life. We're made to live above and beyond ourselves. We're made to be on a rock higher than ourselves. We're made to be in the fellowship of the mystery of Christ. In our closet, in our Bible study, in our meeting, in our personal life, and that's the way to live. Once you taste and live in it and go in it and go in it and go in it, you say, I don't want anything other than that kind of life. Okay. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our fellowship in this godliness. We have seen it in the hearts of your people, as so many of them, in a certain sense, they are those kind that are highly committed and find love. They are those that may be new in our particular fellowship, but they are hungry. They have found as you, and it's much better. Lord, thank you. Bless these thoughts to our minds. And anyone listening is not a believer in Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus as you are. Maybe some backslidden Christian is listening. And we want to say to you, you are precious. God loves you. God reaches out to you. You are precious in the eyes of God and in our eyes. And And we are looking for more, and we have found it in him. Lord, we pray for our work worldwide, everywhere where you are being lifted up, and that people would be drawn to you. They would literally go to bed at night with their hearts on fire, burning for you. They would say, oh, I'm so happy these missionaries came to my town. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy about it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And that's happening in the world. Oh, God, thank you for this. Yes, Lord. And maybe somebody also was saying in their heart, just take my stony heart, Lord, my stony heart. I have all my reasons piled up, but I want you to take my stony heart and make it a heart of flesh, and I forgive. I give it up. I get rid of it. I burn it up. I throw it away. I just throw it. It's gone. I don't care about it. Give me a new reason. Your love, your cross. In Christ's name. Amen.